Looking at Calgary. Looking at Alberta through new eyes. Roger Kincaid, Rob Breckenridge. News Talk 770's new morning tandem. Exclusively on Calgary's breaking news and conversation station.
That's Kincaid and Breckenridge on News Talk 770. I don't know what to make of this story. I saw in the National Post this morning here, Roger, because I'm a fairly tolerant guy. I'm a fairly easygoing guy. Now, people choose to live their life. I don't get too worked up about it. I tend not to be too judgmental. But this, I don't know. This just seems weird to me, if I'm going to be honest. It's described as an alternative family model. Autonomous mothers who are women who are married, who choose to have a baby, but instead go and find a sperm donor and raise these children as single moms.
Yeah, but they're married.
Follow that. Right.
It takes a couple of different forms. And the trend, as I understand it, stems from this idea that there are women who, for whatever reason, have not had children yet, and they're getting sort of late in life, biological clock is ticking sort of thing, and then decide they want to have a baby. They want to do it themselves. So they're married, maybe they cohabit, or maybe they're just alone and they want to, you know, seek a donor, either through conventional means, go to a clinic, or even arguably more conventional means, go to a guy they know who's willing to help her out. The only thing, I agree with you, I think it's a bit weird, but only because it's atypical, in my opinion. I just want to know if that works, both practically and legally. Because I can't imagine a situation where my wife comes to me and goes, Roger, you know what, I want to have a baby. Don't worry, you don't have to be the father. I can go, I can sort this out on my own.
Well, and then, I mean, let's say you got a situation like that where you've got a man and woman married. The woman gets a sperm donor, has a baby, says, don't worry, husband, you're not the father. The husband leaves. They get divorced. Then all of a sudden she says, oh, well, I want child support payments now.
Right. Well, what's that kid supposed to do with that guy that lives in the house?
Well,
hey, yeah. Dave. Dave, can you change me?
That's another matter. I think, you know, it's unfortunate because I think fathers have value, and that sure. So that side of it bothers me too.
All right. Legally, though, this is a real mousetrap, I think, and I wonder if they've kind of got it figured out. Do you know what I mean? Like we've got marriage figured out in a lot of respects. There's some family courts and lawyers who specialize in this sort of thing, but it seems that this one's a bit more of a minefield. So let's bring Ellen K. Embry into this conversation. Lawyer at Dunphy Best Bloxham, also a fellow for the American Academy of Assisted Reproductive Technology Attorneys. Ellen, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
How long has this been a trend, by the way, in your opinion, that we've had these autonomous mothers kind of seeking legal counsel, if you will?
I've seen it in my practice over the past couple of years. I would say that the first one that came in to me was probably 2 or 3 years ago.
And what are they looking for? Like, when they come to you, what are they asking you?
Well, typically, if it's a single woman, she's saying, I want to have a baby. My friend so-and-so is prepared to donate sperm, and I want to make sure that he's never going to have any kind of parental rights. And that one I would describe as the plain vanilla simple case. We have some good elements in our Family Law Act which make it crystal clear that if that individual is donating sperm only for the purpose of her to have a baby, and this is the very critical thing, they do not actually have sex, there's no sexual intercourse, then he will not be considered a parent.
Is that a key factor, that if there is intercourse, that changes the dynamic?
Sex changes everything, and it absolutely is a key factor. And our legislation says very specifically that if you procreate by a means other than sexual intercourse, then you're into the world of assisted reproduction, and that's a world in which it's easier and simpler to not have parental rights. But I tell everybody the bottom line who comes in. The rule is, if you're having sex, you better be prepared for parental responsibilities. If you're not having sex, there may be some other ways of approaching this.
That interests me. And that sounds, I don't know, as a non-legal expert speaking to one, it sounds like that's ready to topple in a world of waivers and whatnot. Do you think that that'll be challenged one day?
Well, I don't think that, I mean, the provisions, our legislation specifically says that if you donate an egg or a sperm to somebody else, the purpose of the donation is not for your own reproductive purposes. You are donating an egg or a sperm. You're using a method other than sexual intercourse. Then you are not presumed to be a parent. Now, if after that you choose to live with the person that you're donating your sperm to, for example, we have a guy who says, yeah, I'll donate the sperm, then suddenly they're in a relationship later on, bang, he's around when the baby's born, potential parental obligations that are established by virtue of his relationship with the child, regardless of whether there's a bio relationship.
Okay, so where things get complicated, then, it seems, if we've got a woman who decides she wants a baby, she finds a sperm donor who's willing to be the sperm donor, but then turns out that woman is married or in an intimate relationship with a third person, another man.
Right.
So how does the law come into play there?
Well, typically what would happen there would be that the individual who donated the sperm, because he is not donating it for his own reproductive purposes, he is likely going to be isolated from any kind of parental obligations, again, as long as he doesn't have sex with her. The issue is the husband, and I have had people come into me in a married situation like this where husband says, I don't want kids, and wife says, I do want kids, and the first thing I say is, well, you guys probably need some counseling about this before you create a human being. The issue is that the husband or the live-in partner in that circumstance, regardless of whether he has a biological relationship to the child, is certainly at risk of being determined to be a parent because of the relationship that he has had with the child from moment one.
Yeah, what are the pitfalls of that particular arrangement then?
The pitfalls is no matter what you write down, if you say that you and your spouse enter into an agreement whereby you want to have a baby, hubby doesn't want to have a baby, so you're going to go out and get a sperm donor. You enter into an agreement of some kind whereby a husband says, I waive all parental rights, but I still get to live in the house, and I still get to de facto have a relationship with you. I think it's highly unlikely that an Alberta court would uphold that.
Right, and then there's another issue. This is bizarre because we're trying to go from lily pad to lily pad on this one and make a coherent story out of it. But if there's a situation where that arrangement you just described happens and then, say, the mother passes away, then you've got a situation where a child who would otherwise be in a very normal relationship with a man living in that child's house as a father, you've basically got some adult and some kid cohabiting that have no rights to one another.
Well, but they don't. That's not the case, because if you think about it, if you've got a step-parent relationship, so woman has a baby, enters into a relationship with a man, subsequently he moves in, he assumes the role of a step-parent, mm-hmm. He is going to be, I mean, regardless of whether there's a legal document that says he's a step-parent, typically he would have some obligations to that child if he has assumed a parental role. And it's always going to be a test of, has he assumed a parental role?
Right,
and you
okay.
literally look at what he's doing every day vis-a-vis that kid. Is he picking him or her up from school? Is he making meals? Is he caring for the child? In those cases, yeah, there's absolutely, you know, with those things whereby you're assuming the benefits of parenthood come obligations too.
Well, to that end, is the law flexible enough that when these unique situations arise, or if more alternative ways of forming families present themselves, that the law is adaptable enough that it can address those, or is the law as it stands now, is it too narrow?
I don't think the law is too narrow. I think that the law that we have was designed for the situation where a woman in her 40s wants to have a child and wants to make sure that the donor that she uses is not going to have parental rights. And I think that the fact that we've built into the legislation the no sex rule is a good thing because it makes people take that extra level of thoughtfulness when they go into this type of a situation. So, and I'll be honest with you, that is by far the majority of what we see in terms of this type of relationship. So I think that that's a good one. In terms of the married couple, that is a much more rare situation, and I think that the law does have enough flexibility to deal with it because, you know, regardless of who's on your birth certificate, the reality is that in Alberta, a child can have multiple parents because of the relationship that has been created in the home with individuals. So you don't have to have a bio relationship to the child to have a parental relationship.
Ellen, we have to take a quick break. Could you hold the line, please?
Sure.
All right. Ellen K. Embry is our guest. She's a lawyer at Dunphy Best Bloxam, fellow at the American Academy of Assisted Reproductive Technology Attorneys. It's an interesting conversation. We'll continue it after a commercial break. This is Kincaid and Breckenridge on News Talk 770.